Welcome to Travel Fun. My name is Mary Beth Clementi, and I am the host of this talk show on travel. And as is the tradition, every April I do a special April in Paris program. And it has been 9 years now. Woo, I can't believe it that I've been doing this radio show. And every April, I have a special Paris story. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to cover Paris or France during the rest of the year, but I'm always sure to cover Paris in April because it truly is a delightful time of year to go to Paris and to think about or dream about going to Paris. This week, I have Donnie Bilodeau on the phone from New York, and Donnie is the founder of a very dynamic website blog called Girls Guide to Paris, and Girls Guide to Paris is a resource for information on Paris and beyond. I would like to welcome Donnie to Travel Fun. Hi, Donnie.
How are you? Thank you so much for having me on the show.
I am thrilled. Now, jump right in and tell us about Girls Guide to Paris.
Well, it's kind of a funny story. I was in politics and not-for-profit work. I still have a foot in that area because I started helped start a not-for-profit in Africa called Ubuntu Africa. So we have kids with HIV, ubafrica.org, if anyone's interested. But so I do keep a little bit of a hat on that world, but I was just kind of fed up with saving the world, if you will. And I had an apartment in Paris for about 6 years, as did you, I know, from 2000-2006. And I'd taken a whole bunch of girls on vacations there, as well as family and my daughter and her friends and on and on. And I had this dream of writing a book about my Paris. You know, everybody has their own version of Paris. And you know, different people I talked to said, oh, forget it. Nobody knows who you are, you know. And I said it to myself, well, maybe I should just start a website. How hard could that be? Wrong. You know, it's really, really hard. It's more difficult than birthing the two children I've had. But it has been such fun. We started, took about a year of research, a year and a half, and we launched in 2009, and now we have about 100,000 readers a month, so we're going strong. We're really excited. We're doing an e-book now and starting an e-magazine, so it's been fantastic fun.
Wow, that is fantastic. Félicitations to you.
Yes.
How did you become so passionate about Paris?
Well, I think it started not on my first visit when I was like 17, but on my second. It was about 1988, right after we got married. My sister had a house in the Aveyron she had just bought, so she's also a crazed Francophile. Maybe I caught some of it from her, but that trip, we went up to Paris. We stayed in a little hotel, Hotel Université, which is still there in the 6th. And, you know, it's a little affordable place, and I was on the bed, and we had to leave the next day, and I just remember gripping onto the hotel bed. Why do we have to leave? Why do we have to leave? I mean, what is the point of leaving such a beautiful place kind of thing? So I just, you know, was not happy at the idea of leaving, and I've kind of tried to get back ever since, you know, full time. Now we're kind of a third of the time there, and we're trying to get to half of the time because it is my absolute love, and I do love traveling elsewhere in a big way. But Paris is my first love.
What is it that you love so much about Paris? What was it about that time when you were in the Hotel de l'Université that you said, "I can't leave. I've got to stay here"?
Good question. It's everything, but I think if you, to sum it up in one word, it's beauty. Everything is just so unbelievably beautiful in Paris, you know? You know it well. You know, unfortunately, when you stay there, you start to take it for granted, but boy, when you go anywhere else, and of course, you know, places like where you live in Telluride are just stunning in terms of the physical, you know, beauty of nature. But Paris, in terms of the architecture and the man-made, you know, place that it is just unbelievable. And there's just, you can't convince me that there's another place that is more beautiful. And it was just simply that, quite simple. It's a town, which I've said many times on the website, that's very female. You know, it's just beauty is what the French love. Beauty in taste, in terms of, you know, physical taste with your eyes and your mouth, you know, and every sort of sense is overloaded there. As you walk down the streets and look at the displays in the shop windows. I mean, we have great shops in New York, certainly LA, all over the United States. There's fantastic shops, but you know, the physical building is so beautiful, and then they've painted, you know, the shop in this sort of blue lacquer, and then there'll be the most incredible floral displays. I mean, nobody does flowers better, except for maybe the Japanese or, you know, close equal. But you know, it's stunning. It's got a slower pace than New York does, if you're just comparing those two. And you know, forget about it. The food is worth it alone.
I have so much I want to comment on, and I'm trying to be the interviewer here, but I should have prefaced this by saying, let's have this be a discussion. Many of my listeners know that I did live in Paris 11 years, and I have written 5 books on Paris and France, 4 guidebooks, and I did have a shopping service in Paris, and I would bring people behind the scenes at the big names and take them to these little boutiques that you were talking about.
Yes.
So I just have to say, well, there's so much I want to comment on. You nailed it in terms of talking about the beauty and also the charm factor and the history and the spirit. When you were talking about the little shops, you go in there, not only are they beautiful, but they have a soul.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I think that's a great way to put it.
Right.
It's a great way to put it. And yeah, they just take they're kind of like the only other culture I can describe it is they take everything so seriously, and you know, which kind of drives you crazy in some in the bureaucracy realm, but it's so beautiful when it comes to the art de vivre realm, you know, and the Japanese are probably the only other, you know, culture that is just so detailed about in the beauty realm and just about life and life being more important. Living your life well is more important than how much money you have, what job you have, you know, where you live, and all the sort of things we get caught up in here. I like the priorities better.
Well, I often say to people, remember, this is a country, a nation that had Louis the 14th and really set the tone for how people are to live and whether they have means or not, but to live in elegance. And it's fun when you translate these little things into your life back in the States. For example, I live in a one-bedroom apartment here in Telluride, and I still use a tray for almost every meal I have, whether it's at my desk or on the couch or by the table or whatever. I'm always shuffling things around on a tray. And I guess that's a tradition I picked up from my days living in France. And so obviously you have embraced this as well. Donnie, let's provide the website. It's girlsguidetoparis.com.
Right? That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, right, nice and easy, girlsguidetoparis.com. We have a big following. We would love to have all of your listeners join us on Facebook because we have kind of a little girls club there. We talk a lot about our mutual obsession of Paris and a lot of good trade secrets are flowing back and forth between person to person on that page, plus obviously Twitter, Tumblr, you know, we have got everything under the sun that exists. I think we've got Instagram and Pinterest, thanks to a lot of great helpers I have with me.
Tell us about some of the stories you feature and also the services that you offer.
Well, thank you for that opportunity. We started out the website just it's a passion project really for me, and it was such fun finding. We've got about 15 different writers in Paris on the ground, so they cover everything for us on our blogs. But what we also have, and why I created it this way, is that I love, there's so many great blogs about Paris, really, but it's hard to access the information on there because you end up scrolling down and, you know, surfing through their archives. It could take all day to figure out, okay, what restaurants does this person recommend? You know, what if I'm in the sixth, what hotel does this person like? So we have all of our stationary pages for hotels, for best tours, you know, for, you know, shopping, of course, spas, anything, and nice and easy to navigate. And then we have all of our blogs. So we have a new post up every day on the website, in our What's Hot blog, or we have our food review every Wednesday, and every Friday we do a fashion post. So you've got all this great current information, and then you have a continually updated stationary piece of information, which makes it easier to navigate. And that's the idea. So it really is truly a guidebook on the web. And we also have great walking tours that you can download. If you don't want to spend the money on a tour guide, which can cost you from 50 to 250 euros, so it's not cheap. And I do recommend a lot of great ones on the site. But if you want to do something a little bit more low-key and a lot cheaper, we have I have put together, they're mostly all done by me. There's a couple of wonderful writers that have helped us. But we've got I've got 18 now different tours that you can download. So you can download them, print them out, you know, like a PDF, or you can put them on your iPhone or Android phone. They start at like $3, so they're super cheap, and they're fabulous. Obviously I'm biased, but there really isn't too many other services who do this kind of thing. And it's great because you can walk around the Canal Saint-Martin, discover that area. It's an area that a lot of people, which has gotten very, very cool and trendy, and discover all the restaurants, stock shops, and so forth, and you just can have your little three pages that you printed out in your purse, and you pull them out in between as you're walking, and you don't look like a tourist with a big, huge, heavy guidebook. So those are really popular. They're right under guides, I think, on the website. And then we also have a travel club, which we started year before last, and it's a way that you can join us. I think it costs $95. You get a special discount if you're a Twitter follower or Facebook for $75. And you get like a credit card in the mail, and that gives you great discounts, VIP treatments, special gifts with purchase, and special invites to events in Paris at over 250 partners that we have, not only in Paris, but throughout all of France. So that's also been quite popular, and you can read about that on our website, too. And the exciting things that are coming up are the e-book, which is going to allow people to sort of download the best of the best from the website, and keep it on their iPad, their Nook, or their Kindle, so they don't have to have any Wi-Fi to look up stuff when they go to Paris. So we're trying to make that a little bit easier for people. And then we're going to start an e-magazine this fall, which is going to be Girls Guide to Paris A2. So we're going to talk about other places beyond Paris, which I'm really excited about. That's what I'm doing when I'm going over next week.
Fantastic. Lots of things going on.
Yes.
Before I pick your brain, because of course you know that I want to ask you your short list of favorite restaurants and your favorite things to do and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I do want to say that you have a connection to Telluride. And you were actually here this winter during the AIDS benefit fashion show and
now,
during the activities here. And I believe you came to be introduced to Telluride from Kitty Brown, a name that's
right.
Very familiar.
That's right. I mean, it was just one of those fluke luck things. And you know, all further proof, as we all know, that the world is getting smaller and smaller. I was in Paris, I think it was last year, having lunch with Catherine Brown, Kitty Brown, and she at the time was working for Paris Property Group, and they, we do, they're one of our partners, and we promote them a little bit on the website, and you know, we were talking business, having lunch, and then at the end, we're like, oh, what else do you do, and blah blah blah, and going back and forth, and I talked about my not for profit. nonprofit, Ubuntu Africa, which is HIV kids. We do an after-school program outside of Cape Town. And she said, oh, my gosh, I have a friend who puts on this amazing event in Telluride, where I used to live, and, you know, you should call her. And, of course, you get these things all the time from people, which is wonderful. And I always follow up on all of them. But, you know, 9 out of 10 times, you know, there's maybe not a match there. It doesn't make sense. Whatever. People don't get back to you. In this case, you know, Jody, who was the chair, I believe, this year of the event, and it is a really not just an event. It's a massive week of events. At Telluride, one of the coolest events of the year, I understand. There, she took us on as one of the new charities that they donate to, which we were more than thrilled about. And Whitney, who's really the founder and the vision behind the organization, she and I went together. We had a blast. I said, this is the easiest fundraising I've ever done. I'm here, you know, at the coolest fashion show probably I've ever seen, much more fun than any real fashion show you'd see in Paris. And we're raising money for kids and helping, you know, kids to live longer in Africa. I mean, what could be more rewarding and fun? I mean, it was just a blast. And Telluride, having never been there, it's stunning. It's so gorgeous. And people are beyond friendly. I mean, we just had the best time.
Well, you know, once again, there's so much I want to comment on the fashion show. You know, I had spent so many years in Paris in those circles, and actually I ranged for many people to go to the haute couture shows or accompanied them myself, and I was a part of that world. So when I came to Telluride and I heard about this fashion show, I couldn't help but think, well, you know, And then I went and I thought, whoa, this is fantastic. It's part fashion show. It's part Parisian runway show. It's part Las Vegas act. It's just fantastic. And oh, so I'm so glad you had a taste of it and that you experienced that. Please provide the website again for your nonprofit.
Well, thank you so much. It's UB, so the letters U and B, Africa, ubafrica.org, O-R-G. Because there's a number, Ubuntu is actually a beautiful word in Swahili, I believe. It is that it means, you know, I am because we are. It talks about interconnectedness and how giving to others, you know, really is what creates a full life for you. And that's a word that's actually widely used in Africa. So there's other Ubuntu organizations. So we actually had one person donate to the wrong organization one time. So it's ubafrica.org, and we got a great video on there to learn more about it. But I just totally fell in love with Telluride and especially all the people involved in the benefit. You guys are amazing.
And hopefully through your organization, you will be forever connected to Telluride.
I know. I'm just so happy about that. What a nice place to be connected to. Really lucky.
You mentioned earlier that it's the beauty of Paris that really grabs you the most.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have to say that is the common denominator for me in my experience in Paris. And now it's been 9.5 years I've been in Telluride. And here in Telluride, it's a natural beauty. In Paris, it's a man-made beauty. But I think that that's really what strikes people. And I know so many people, including Kitty Brown, that have just been, you know, fallen in love with Paris and have the love for Telluride, and I could name a half dozen other people. So I think it is anybody who's really interested in gorgeous surroundings. If you love Paris, you'll love Telluride.
Yes.
So I'm
absolutely
glad you came to discover that too. How about we talk about some of your favorite things to do in the City of Light?
Oh, well, I tell you, that is a long list, and that's why we have the website. Really. And it's so funny because everybody always who's going to Paris who are friends is like, well, what do you suggest I do? I said, well, that is really the whole point of the website, but they still want, you know, your personal picks. So in terms of restaurants, and that's certainly, you know, one of the best reasons to even hop on the plane, the hottest place and one of the best places in town is Frenchie. Very, very, very tough to get in. You have to start thinking about it now if you're going, you know, in 3 months kind of deal. But it's kind of a silly name, but a really fabulous restaurant, and it's one of these bistronomique kind of restaurants, which is sort of since you left, in really starting in 2000, there's been a sort of big change in Paris, which maybe really more in the last 5 years than any other time, is that, you know, sort of the Michelin star places that we all were pining for in the 90s and wanted to go to so badly that were so fancy are kind of falling out of favor. I mean, I recommend people that really are foodies to go to perhaps one of them on a trip, but no more than one because, of course, they're extremely expensive and fancy, too quiet, the atmosphere is not, you know, usually that fun. A lot of the chefs that worked at the Michelin star restaurants or the sous chefs have opened their own places, and they tend to be more casual, like a place like Frenchie. Another place is Le Chateaubriand, and that is in the 11th, and that guy, who's actually a Basque chef from the Basque region, Inaki Azaparte, very tough name, but he has been voted by Food & Wine one of the best 20 up-and-coming chefs in the world. But it's a very casual place. You know, you can laugh really loud and have too many bottles of wine, have a great time. But at these kind of places, they tend to offer, particularly at Le Chateaubriand, there's a whole bunch more, another place that I love called Saturne, S-A-T-U-R-N-E, like Saturn with an E on it. Those three right now, I think, are probably my top favorites. They offer one pre-fee menu. So you don't have a choice as to what to offer, as what to order, which kind of, on the one hand, it sounds a little cramp your style kind of thing, but on the other hand, it's like you don't have to think about it, and they will make adjustments if you're vegetarian or allergic to something, and you don't know what you're getting. It's kind of a fun surprise, and natural wines are also really, really big. So at all those restaurants, you'll have the ability to order a natural wine with if people haven't heard of what that or don't understand what that is, it doesn't have to necessarily be organic, but these are wines that are made particularly in France, but we do also some in the U.S. and elsewhere, where you add the least amount of additives in the winemaking process as you can. It doesn't mean that you're going to add no sulfites, you know, nothing at all, but much less. So what happens is the wine is quite grapey tasting. It's quite different than regular wine, but it's a really interesting experience. Saturn is really the ideal place to try that. And they also really focus on very, very fresh vegetables. You know, forgetting the old days of, you know, just pouring a lot of really heavy sauce on what we think of as French food, you know, very much out of trend, out of favor. Places like Saturn, where they'll tell you, you know, where they got their mushrooms, and the mushroom dish will be, you know, feel like you're taking a walk in the woods, and having that with a glass of natural wine is really divine. So there's exciting food stuff going on in Paris, and we do a food review every week. So, you know, there's sort of a no end to choices of places to go. But also, you know, you got to try some of the classic bistros. And Au Lyonnais, I think, is probably my favorite one. It's Alain Ducasse's place. I could go on and on, as you can see, about restaurants, but we can talk shopping, hotels, anything else you want.
Well, what about, you know, I have to add there, the number one thing that I think people should do in Paris is walk,
absolutely,
and then walk some more.
Yep, it is.
Leave with a good pair of walking shoes and just take in the sights, take in the neighborhoods. It is a fantastic city for walking, and if you want to stop off at a cafe or go to a little museum, that should be the program for the day, and just take it in. And also, of course, the metro is fun to ride, but a lot of people don't realize they can hop on buses pretty easily and still see a lot from the bus, and so don't be afraid to do that.
Absolutely. One of our writers actually did a piece on, which I thought was a brilliant idea, to get on the bus and just take it in whatever direction you want and just get off wherever you want with sort of no destination in mind. And if you can save a day, maybe at the end of your trip after you've, especially if you've not been there before and you've gotten, you know, sort of the must-sees out of the way, or at least the things that you have on your list that you feel you have to check off, Eiffel Tower, Notre Dame, et cetera, then do that and allow yourself the afternoon to just be a flaneur, to, you know, to walk aimlessly around. And it is magical. And taking the bus to do that and then walking back or walking wherever your heart leads you is just immense amounts of fun. And then if you don't feel quite free enough to do that, you can always take one of our walking tours. But the other thing I love to recommend to people who have not been to Paris before is to take the Segway tour. It sounds kind of touristy, kind of cheesy and silly, but especially if you have teenagers, or I did it with a whole bunch of women who, you know, were very sophisticated, very cool, and you know, didn't want to feel touristy. But you get on that Segway. It's so much fun, first of all. They teach you how to ride it. And then you can see all of the sights of central Paris in, like, 2 hours, whereas if you were to walk around, you know, it would take you all day. And then you get this sense of the city. It's a great sort of first day thing to do. And you never want to give them back. They're so much fun. So that's a sort of off-the-beat, different way to see it the first day.
I actually did a story on those Segway tours at my blog, Bonjour Colorado, a few years ago. So I should be sure to provide the link for that when I post this story that I'm doing about you. And that's a great idea. The other thing is the bateau mouche, the boats that go on the Seine, to do that at night. And I think that's wonderful and great value as well.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the, particularly the bateau mouche, because of the very large, loud speaker. They you know, and they say it in all the different languages, and I hate really, really touristy things. That said, you know, being on the Seine at night is very magical, as you know, and as you recommend. If you can spend a little bit more, there's a place called Yacht de Paris that does a dinner cruise that's in the 100, 150 euro range kind of deal. It would definitely be a special night, but you do have dinner, and it's a beautiful old boat, and it feels quite elegant. It doesn't feel like you're in a, you know, kind of a tour bus on the river type of thing. The other thing that we recommend that's more affordable, in the affordable realm, is bateau bus. So bateau bus is just, you know, really a bus on the river. So it's a way to get on the river without feeling as, you know, I don't know, there's that particular, you know, touristy feeling that I'm always trying to avoid. At least we are on the website. That said, I have been on the bateau mouche and have taken people on there, and everybody does love it, even with the loud voiceover and so forth. So
it's all good. It's like a trip up to the Eiffel Tower. Donnie, I feel like we've just warmed up and we're running out of time. I wanted to ask you about the mood in Paris these days, the attitude towards Americans, the value, all kinds of things, but we have run out of time. I'm afraid people are going to have to go to your website because I'm sure you touch on those topics and many more. And once again, that's the girlsguidetoparis.com. And I'm sure guys can have a fun time at that site, too.
Yes, we actually, 30% of our readers are guys, so we welcome girls, women, ladies, and those who love them.
Good. And then bravo on your work with your nonprofit in Africa, and once again, that's ubafrica.org. I have been visiting with Donnie Below, and Donnie, thank you so much for being a guest on Travel Fun.
Thank you. I had a blast. Thank you so much, Mary Beth.
Take care and happy spring.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And once again, I will be posting this story on my blog at bonjourcolorado.com. I'll put this up as a podcast so people can tune in. A bientôt.
Si la photo est bonne, juste en deuxième colonne, y a le voyou du jour qui a une petite gueule d'amour. Dans la rubrique du vice, y a l'assassin de service qui n'a pas du tout l'air méchant. plutôt l'œil intéressant. Coupable ou non coupable, s'il doit se mettre à table, que j'aimerais qu'il vienne pour se mettre à la mienne. Si la photo est bonne, il est bien de sa personne. La populaire d'un assassin, que le fils de mon voisin, ce gibier de potence, pas sorti.